Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic, folks. I am your host, Martha Lane Coo Wheeler, and it's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Got a great show going on tonight. It's looking like summer's finally here in force. If you live in Virginia or anywhere down up and down the East Coast. So that's always a good thing, and it really delves into the point of tonight's show, which is we're going to talk about nighttime largemouth bass fishing, or any freshwater bass fishing for that matter, tips, techniques, what I do, and hopefully you'll learn something from it. I was going to talk about, go over the regional reports that I've got in. Everyone was kind of blown out this past weekend, but did get some good things from those that braved it. As well as some news that's going on, and hopefully get a few callers in and have someone to talk to tonight. And always remember, folks, you can always call in during a live show. The number is 714-816-4727. Feel free to call in at any time during the show. Or if you're a guest in the chat room during a live show, you can sign in using your Facebook account via Blog Talk Radio. All right. People are starting to trickle in. We have in the house already Mr. Hammerhead Greg Crisp, who's enjoying the warm tropical climes of Florida. What's going on, man? We have Mr. R. Lee, the picture man. What's going on, buddy? The infamous Mr. Rob Choi. What's going on, Rob? Congrats on the Citation Sheepy, man. That thing's a monster. Mr. Yak Chum from up in Jersey. All right, let's see here. Start off with the regional reports. Up north this time, we'll start off with Delaware. Granted, this past weekend pretty much blew everyone out, especially up in Delaware. They were getting some really wicked wind. But the ones that were able to get out and out of the wind did pretty well. I heard of some really good croaker being caught. The rays have moved in, so they were getting a bunch of them. And some stripers at night around the Delaware Bridge, which is always good to have. And then that's pretty much Delaware this past weekend. We had that blow, folks, that lasted, you know, 4 days or something like that. Just insane. Really screwed up a lot of fishing time. Down in Maryland, Ocean City, again, blown out. But the ones that were able to fish inside the harbors and stuff like that did really well on the flounder. Heard of some really, really nice fish being caught. Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, just an excellent time. You know, the usual suspect spot, croaker. Not many people going offshore or heading out in the ocean. Some bluefish being caught. So it was good to stay close to home. Over to the bay side of Maryland. Really good striper bite right now around the Bay Bridge Tunnel. They've been really doing very well. Bunker chunking and trolling mojos. So, you know, if you're up there, have some fun with it. I heard some spots, some croaker being caught, some drum being caught just south of the Bay Bridge Tunnel as well. So, getting on that. Down to North Carolina. You know, folks always leave Virginia for last. Again, the blow pretty much kept everyone inside. The ones that did venture out did excellent on the drum, apparently. That northeast blow really pushed them in close to the beaches. So surf casters were getting into them. The pier guys were getting into them. Just a lot of really good fish. And, you know, even in around Oregon Inlet, inside the inlet itself. Just a lot of good fishing inside there. You know, if you get away from the wind, you were doing very well. You know, the flounder's bite's been excellent up here lately. And then down in South Carolina, just awesome. The caddis didn't get as much of the blow as we did up here in the north. So those that got out did excellent. I actually heard of two sailfish being caught less than half a mile from Charleston Harbor, which is great to hear. So, you know, if they're there, then everyone was doing pretty well. Redfish Chuck, who just joined us, what's going on, Chuck, ask, what makes you a pro kayak angler? So post up in the chat room, and we'll see what the what everyone has to say that's in the chat room. If you'd like to comment via phone, feel free to. It's 714-816-4727. back to South Carolina. Up in Cook's Creek, they're doing very well on the puppy drum, along the grass lines, popping corks, soft plastics, top water is doing really well on them. So that's a good sign. Pretty much they're everywhere right now. So if you have a chance to get on them, do that. And then back to Virginia. Again, the blow kind of kept everyone inside. But when you did get a chance, Rudy and Lynn Haven were on fire. I personally caught one of my largest flounder on Friday out of my buddy's boat. 23-inch flatty, really nice flounder, along with two others that were decent, a 19 and a 17. They were delicious, by the way. All caught in a bucktail. With the Slayer SST, Chicken Off the Chain, my personal favorite. Let's see here. I heard reports of puppy drum also being caught. I'm going over my notes. Inside of Lynn Haven, in the back, away from the motors, as well as in Rudy Inlet, chunking mullet on the bottom. So that's a good sign that they're around. Found here in Redfish. So Spanish mackerel, for those that were out to the beaches and piers throwing sting silvers and stuff like that. But some excellent fish being caught right now. And this weekend's looking excellent. Already Mr. Choi was out right after the blow, or it was before the blow, I believe. Either or. But hammered the sheep's head, so good on you, man. That's some awesome stuff there. You know, this is the time. Get out there, have some fun with it. There's some really nice fish out in the bay to be caught right now. Sharks, which are my personal favorite. Sheep's head, triggers, I believe, are starting to be pulled up. The spades are around the islands and the pylons. Cobia, just get out there, take a bunch of baits, and have some fun with it. You can't go wrong. All right. Let's see here. guys are talking about citations and some other stuff. Welcome 59 Bassman in the chat room. All right. Let's get on to some news, personal news for me. Folks, if you have any personal news in the chat room, pop it up there, things that are going on. Before I go too far ahead, Mr. Redfish Chuck will be the bartender at the Swamp Brothers meet and greet thingamajigger. Chuck, can you post some stuff up on that? I don't have it in front of me. Should be a lot of fun. Fish of Florida Radio, Redfish Chuck, the Swamp Brothers are all going to be there. It's looking like a great time. Wish I was in Florida to enjoy that. Let's see here, what else? The Boondoggle. The Boondoggle is coming up. I think it's 4 months away, if that. we're looking at some really good stuff going on for that. If you don't know, now you know. October 5th to the 8th, up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, my neck of the woods. We're going to get into some really good stuff. Here you go, folks. The Redfish, you can meet Redfish Chuck, Steve Chapman, Captain Mike Ortego and Boudreaux and the Swamp Brothers this Saturday night from 7 to 11 at Fish on Fire. I think that's going to be awesome. It's in Orlando. You know, be careful, Chuck, driving down I-4 that late at night. but should be a great time. I know Chuck is always a hoot, and especially when he's behind the bar handing out red Solo cups. So, my personal news is I've joined forces with the NOAA Marine Fisheries Service on their Apex Predator Project, tagging and releasing sharks. So if you see me out in the water, out in the middle of the bay, most likely I will be looking for sharks. So we'll have pictures and more of that to come. And Chuck will be pouring the drunks. so it should be a pretty cool info, and I'll keep you everyone posted. Have I tried for Kobe yet? Not in the kayak. I have in my buddy's boat, and seen them, hooked into them, couldn't get any in gaffing range, unfortunately. But they're around. Your best bet, if you're going to do it from a boat, is swing over to Kiptopeak and push out to, like, buoy 18, watch the buoys, and if not, drop an anchor, throw out a live croaker, throw out an eel underneath a float, and then take a crab. You know, if you can run four lines, you're doing great. Put a crab on the bottom, and then put a crab fly line on top. Those are two baits that aren't used enough here in Virginia, and they do work on some cobia. So definitely get on that if you're willing to try. But yeah, so I'll keep everyone informed on the tagging, shark tagging. I know this weekend I'll be down in Sandbridge fishing the pier, enjoying some time with a buddy of mine, and hopefully tagging some fish. So if you're down there or you're heading down there, let me know. Send me an email at LandingCrew@yahoo.com, and we'll get together and stick some sharks. All right, on to the topic of the night. I know Bassman's all giddy as all get out, but talking about nighttime bass fishing, the unsung hero of summertime bassing. And it's what I prefer this time of year, especially when the temps are in the 90s plus. It will be, you know, it is definitely the best time to do it. It's cooler and a lot less brain fart people on the water. So it's quieter, and the bass really become active, really active at that time, because it's just not all the pressure they're dealing with. So let's talk about what you want to have with you. And I'm going to go over my four main rigs. My laptop just died. Let's see here. So let's go over my four main rigs, and yikes, my laptop's completely gone. If anyone's listening, Chuck, any help would be greatly appreciated at this moment, so I don't know what the heck's going on with this thing. But my four main rigs that I run are a topwater, a frog, a crankbait and a large spinning bait. Big Colorado blade spinning bait, spinner bait. Okay. Those are the four I run all the time at night. I'll vary them, depending on the situation. But let's go over each one and how I use them in colors. First one I start off with, and especially this time of year I find works really well, is a popper. One of those Rebel poppers, if you can find them. I think they're about 3 inches. They work very well. Just because they're just so effective. And what I do is I remove those treble hooks. I don't really need them this time of year because the bass are going to blow it up. I mean, it's really hard. And I'll replace them with circle hooks. A circle hook in the back and just a regular J hook on the front, probably in the 3/0 size. And I find my hookups are excellent with that circle hook because I tend to tend to hear that slurp. And that bait, all of a sudden you feel tension on the line, you don't do anything. You just hold it there, and the bass hooks himself. If you don't feel like doing that, keep the circle hook, keep the trebles on there. Also find I don't get caught up in the trees as much. You are throwing at night. It is dark. It is difficult to see. So any way you can get the bait back out, works really well when you throw it into the bank. And the colors. I kind of go against the norm. My personal favorite, especially if I have a lot of light, i.e. come from docks, from houses, or really nice, really bright moon for whatever reason, is a silver color. That little bit of flash can really grab their attention. Or even a bone color. My laptop's booting back up again. Something real light color. For whatever reason, I find it works really well. On a side note of that, if I'm working in an area and it is pitch black, I have no secondary light, no moon, there's cloud cover, it's just really dark, I'm actually going to move to a really dark bait. Black and red, purple and black, black and blue, black and blue-red, anything like that is really going to do well. It's really going to give off a good silhouette. Especially with that popping push and the bubbles that are left behind, really will turn them on if they're around. Going to my second bait, and that's a frog. I always throw frogs at night. Sometimes I don't throw anything else. And the reason for that is everyone's ever been out in the water or near the any sort of pond or stream or whatever, always gets either driven insane or just deafened by the peeper frogs, the beep, 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 beep frogs. They drive me nuts. But just tell you something, those frogs are really active. And you know that they're going to be swimming around that water, and bass are going to key off them. I've done very well tagging bass on topwater frogs at night. A couple of my favorites. The Spro frog works very well. Simple, cast it out there. And I just saw retrieve that bait. Mike put a few pops in there every so often. I'm going to pause it here and there. But just run that bait real slow over that surface does really well. I also modify them. I'll take some of the, small beetle spin willow blades, the real thin ones, and remove the skirt and jimmy rig two blades on as the legs. Or I'll put two, if it's, muddy water, I'll put two big Colorado blades on there. And really work that bait kind of like a jerk bait almost. Really snap in the tip. I'm back up and running. All right. I'm back. Cool.
But
yeah, running that bait like a jerk bait, you know, snap, snap, pause, snap, snap, pause, letting those blades smack together. Really just pisses them off. And I find it works very well, and, you know, for that time of the night. Just one of my favorite presentations. Plus, it's weedless, so I don't have to worry about dropping, you know, getting caught and losing in baits. So the hollow body frog, can't go wrong with them. My next frog that I pick, and I love using, especially if the water's really warm and they're really active, you can hear them popping all over the place, is I'll throw the Striking Rage frog, the coffee frog. And I think it's black or green. I forget which one I have downstairs right now. But I'll throw that, and it works very well. And I'll actually skip that bait. This way I'm not putting it in the grass. And I kind of go against the norm again. I use a spinning rod for that presentation. I use the Akuma Cedros High Speed. It's a really fast spinning reel. It's the 35, I think. It's the smallest one. but skip it all the way towards the bank. One with that, I don't really look at the line. I feel it with my finger. That's why I like using a spinning rod for this technique. As soon as that line stops skipping off my finger, I'm closing the bait, and I'm screaming that bait all the way back in towards me. And I'm reeling really fast, almost making that bait not work correctly, almost skipping all the way back in. And I'll make 3 or 4 casts in the same spot. It's kind of imitating more along the lines of a mouse skidding across the surface. Because if there's one mouse, there's more coming, it seems, you know, from what I've seen. Or those big, you know, nasty water rats. It's just ugly. But it just kind of skips across there. And that's all I'm trying to, you know, a frog, a mouse, whatever, skip it across the surface. Those big bass will come up. And if you all of a sudden you hear that roll, that boom, and you don't feel tension on your line, immediately open the bail. Let that thing drop down. Think cobia. The cobia comes up behind it. You open that bail, drop that bucktail. Same thing. That frog is going to start diving down. It really gets them going. It's almost like throwing a secondary drop bait. When you're working top waters, like a buzz bait. Drop it in there, starts to, you know, just works well for that thing, for that usage. But those are my two main frogs I'll use, and they work very well. Now, on the subsurface, let's say, you know, you just can't get them on the top water. My next thing I'm going to throw, if I'm just not getting a bite, is a as a crankbait. And I'm not talking one of your little itty bitty 2.5s. You know, I throw striking crankbaits pretty much exclusively. Now, the KVD 2.5. I want to throw one of the 6 double D big boy hoss, big lips. I mean, just the kind that you can dig your own channel kind of baits. And I use the darkest color I can find. 9 times out of 10, it's a like a fire tiger. That red really shows a good silhouette. So what you're basically doing is you're going to get a nice long cast, especially when working like a point end of or a ledge or a drop off or something along those lines. I'm going to bring that bait right to the bottom, and I'm going to grind it. If I'm not feeling bottom, I'm doing something wrong, and or that bass has already has it and he's swimming towards me. But that bait rip, you got to make sure it has rattles in it. That's the big thing, sound. You got to have that rattling sound. even if you got to make it, you know, I've done this to many a nighttime crankbait, right? Especially with the striking ones. And here's how I modify it. Take a really small drill bit. I'm talking like, you know, a 64th drill bit, you know, real small. Drill yourself a nice little hole. Give you some of those really itty-bitty BBs, you know, the smallest you can find. You know, you usually find them at like a Bass Pro or a outdoor shop for reloaders. I mean, we're talking tiny, the smallest you can find. And I'm going to drop about 5 or 6 in there. They're not going to add a whole lot of weight, but they are going to add a lot of sound. And it'll help keep that bait working that bottom, and that nose down position, and bouncing off rocks as well. And then all you do is you take a toothpick, stick it in there, a little bit of epoxy or super glue on top. You have no issues from there. You're just going to rip that bait as far as you can. As soon as it hits the water, you're cranking. Now, this is where, you know, I see a lot of people doing this wrong. Or not doing it wrong, but they could be doing it better. Crankbaits need to be, or personally in my eyes, need to be reeled in on like a 6-to-1, a 6-5-to-1 gear ratio reel. That way you can crank it faster, you can crank it slower, it's going to work out for you. Good 6-5-to-1, good nice amount of torque on it. Just trust me on this. If you crankbait or you learn how to crankbait, buy yourself a 6-to-1 gear ratio reel. Kuma makes a couple of great reels. The Komodo, what are the other ones? There's a few that I'm blanking on right now. But get yourself a good 6-to-1 ratio reel. Get yourself a decent rod. Bass Pro makes a great cranking rod. The Bionic Blades. You're looking for something with like a medium action. And work it. I'm telling you, you give yourself a good setup like that, throw that crankbait out, run it real hard, and you'd be surprised at what can happen. You know, that's one of the first baits I go to. If I'm working top water in an area I know I should be catching bass, you know, you don't know if there's a low front or the low front already passed by or, you know, those bass are sitting on the bottom for whatever reason, maybe the bait's on the bottom. That's what I'm throwing. The reason I'm throwing a little larger body profile and a larger bait is just that. It's a larger profile. It's easier for them to get a hold of and see, easier for them to feel, a lot more water displacement. And that's the name of the game at night. You're trying to displace as much water as possible when you're working subsurface baits like that, which goes into my fourth bait. And that is a big Colorado blade spinner bait. Again, I use Strike King, I use a bunch of other people's, but I found what works really well, surprisingly, and people are going to laugh at me, is the big Colorado blade spinner baits you can find for striper fishermen or saltwater fishermen, the ones that you can interchange your own jig head for. I love using these baits. They're the style. If it moves around a lot more, the Colorado blades tend to be a larger profile. It just works really well. And to make it easier on myself, I get Slayer. That Slayer 3/8 ounce Destroyer J head works beautifully for this. And I'll buy the skirts already done. You can get them at any of your local tackle shops that have a good selection of spinner baits, you know, interchangeable skirts. And this is my preference, is one black, okay, and one purple skirt. Slide both them on there. You get a big profile out of this thing, okay? And then I put a trailer on there. Man, oh, man. Excuse me, folks. And then I put a trailer on there of a swim bait. You know, of course, I'm going to go with Slayer. Hanging the Slayer style swim baits, it's really going to give it a good rock to it. A lot of water displacement again. And I'm telling you, it just works excellent. Now, when you let this bait rip in the water, you have to understand you're pushing a lot of water. It's going to be pulling you in your kayak. So this is the bait I use if I'm working down a shoreline. Let's say I don't have any cover on this thing, but it's a steep drop going down to a flat or the edge of a flat going down to the ledge, you know, 2 or 3 feet off the bank. You know the bass aren't going to be pushed up there because let's say it's just sand and there's no cover for them. But you know, off that drop off, there's, you know, a couple pieces of wood, maybe some rock. This bait, you're going to launch it, hit the water, parallel yourself to the bank. Let it sink for 1, 2, 3 count, however deep you want it to go, and then just start slowly reeling it in, almost insanely slow. You want to feel that braid thumping along with that tail, okay? When you reel it in, you'll feel that thump going running through your fingers. The moment you feel that thump stop, pause for a second, okay, and pull back. Snap that rod tip, because most likely the bass already has it. That's the first thing you're going to notice. It's not the hit. If that blade all of a sudden stops spinning, okay? This is when you want to turn them inside out. So, definitely try that. Those four baits at night are excellent. And like I said, those are the first ones I tie on that I work through. Now, let's say you've done all that, okay? You've thrown everything, and then it's not hitting. But you see them coming up and, you know, popping the surface. You see them, the swirls. You can't figure out what's going on. And as you're fishing, you're seeing shad, okay? Shad, bluegill, on the surface skittering, okay? Here's where you kind of got to get scientific, okay? Pick up one of those shad. And you look at the length, look at the width, look at the color, look at everything. And go straight in the summertime or daytime mode. And my first daytime bait I'm switching out for is a rattle trap. Okay? You can't go wrong with a good old-fashioned rattle trap. Or lipless crankbait. I use both rattle traps from the rattle trap company. As well as the Sky King Red Eye Shads. I just can't go wrong with them. They're part of my confidence baits. And I use strictly natural colors. You know, sexy shad, sexy lavender shad, silver body blueback. Sometimes I'll use fire tiger. That's a red and yellow color. I'll use brown every so often. And those are the baits I'll start throwing. You know, if I come into a spot where I got 3 or 4 shad on top, or they're skidding away, or I can see them, you know, running from a spot. You'll see that night they'll be skipping on the surface. I'm going to start casting, thin casting that area. I mean, and I'm going to rip it, do whatever I can, get that bait to get a hit. But let's say, again, they're not hitting that. Third choice, or my second choice for when it's really tough, is a swim bait. And this is where I bust out my expensive one. And it kind of hurts me every time. So usually you lose one or two. But I'm going to throw a BBZ1 4-inch. I think it's lavender shad or blueback. It's a blueback silver belly kind of bait. Works very well. It's got rattles in it, which is very important. Again, you need something that's going to really get their attention. And this is the last bait that you want to use to really get their attention with. And I'll get to more of that in a second. Same thing. Let it rip out there and jerk bait it back in. And that's what I call, you know, the presentation's a jerk bait style. And what you're going to do is snap, snap, pause, and really let it pause. And my snaps aren't parallel to the water. They're coming almost straight vertical. And you got to let it sink, too. Okay? So you let the bait sink. Give it a 5 or 6 count. I think they sink to 1 second per, or 1 foot per second, or half a foot per second. I think it's on the package. But let that sucker rip out there. Let it sink down. I'm giving vertical rod tip, rod movement. I want that bait to go almost vertically in the water column. Up, and those BBZs lay down on the side, and they kind of wobble back and forth as they fall. They're there, and they hit it. Good on you, you figured it out. If it's still not working, and you're really shaking your head, you know, scratching your head, trying to figure out what's going on, I switch to a worm. Big weighted worm, a big weighted lizard bait. I'm going to really pick apart a piece of structure, fall down, a dock. I'm really trying to, now I'm almost frustrated at this point if I've had to go this far. That's what I'm going to start taking away at them. Really slowing down. I'll add a rattle just to give it a little bit more of that allure. Sometimes one of those little sliding rattles. But, you know, really slow down. So I've done, you know, all my presentations at this point have been, you know, pushing. You know, a lot of, you know, really been pounding them with sound or speed. I'm really going to slow it down. Throwing a big jig, a big football-headed jig at this point, you know, would be excellent as well. You know, this is where, you know, for you know, a pick-apart, slow fisherman, this is your bread and butter. You know, a drop shot, you know, stuff like that is what you're going to be looking for. You know, those are the main ones that you're going to want to start looking at using. Start off with the main four, a top water. I didn't even talk about buzz baits. Let me take a second on buzz baits. You should be throwing them as well. If I'm not throwing a popper, I'm throwing a buzz bait as my secondary top water. So get a big buzz bait. The bigger the better that you can find. And Redfish Chuck's headed out. Later, Chuck. So, slip on a nice, big, dark, black skirt. Big buzz bait. If you can find the ones that have the loop, behind the buzz bait, the blade itself, go ahead and add on a treble hook there, okay? And then run your normal trailer. You don't want these bass to get away. Because 9 times out of 10, if they're going to hammer it this time of year, it's going to be a biggin, okay? You don't want to lose these biggins. So let that out there. Reel it back in. So it's just barely popping the surface. You know, if you run a buzz bait long enough, you know what I'm talking about. That plop, 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 plop. That's what you're looking for, okay? Run it like that. You will have no issues. Don't worry about, you know, time to set the hook. That double hook plus the two other hooks, the trailer and the main hook, are going to do it for you. As soon as you hear it, go ahead and lay back on him because he's going to get hooked somewhere. Those are my baits I use this time of year. Anyone else has any suggestions or comments, post them up. I know Hammerhead and Greg Crisp and Redfish Chuck are going to meet up tomorrow for some ditch fishing. You know, good job, guy. You know, which I was down there to join y'all. Looking like a no Senkos. No, I don't like to throw Senkos at night, personally. And my reasoning behind it is bass at night aren't, you know, my last ditch effort, like I said, is to really work structure. Senkos, during the daytime, it's Senkos all the time, especially around here. By the way, this is R. Lee asking these questions. I do a Senko. It's my one of my confidence baits. Watermelon Red Flake is my main one, along with motor oil is another one. But you know, those are the two Senkos I throw during the daytime. At night, I don't find they work very well. The reason for that is bass at night go into a migratory pattern. they go on a really heavy-duty feeding pattern where they'll really roam an area. Their main area. It's the time that they can move without having to deal with birds. It's the time they can move without having to deal with a lot of the other predators that they need to deal with during the daytime. Birds, raccoons, whatever. So they really do a lot of moving around. So the power fishing techniques really do well at night, because you are working a lot of water, and you can be, they could be in one spot 1 second, the next spot another, and the ability to move quickly is key. And, for me at least. Others may see differently, but that's what I use. The paddle tail singles are great. If you picked up the latest issue of Bassmaster, you're gonna see who was using that? Still in the Classic. There was a angler tearing them up in the Classic with the Senko setup. Basically, all that is you just take a regular Senko, and that last eighth inch of the skinny tail, trim that off, okay? And then you take the screw style, the little screws that you can use for your weedless hooks, okay? You take that and you take a Beal spinner, the little tiny spinners, or even a long willow leaf, probably an inch, inch and a half. Slide that on there, okay? Make sure you have that ball bearing, that bearing swivel, the barrel swivel in there, okay? Use a pair of pliers and that little earring loop, I call it, okay, section. You're going to just basically loop it around there and crimp it down, so this way you don't lose that spinner on there, okay? At the very end, tail end of the section, or the very end of that Senko, go ahead and screw that blade in there. I think it was a gentleman who came in second at the Classic. I can't think of his name. That's all he used during the Classic, and he got second place behind Chris. Anyone who can help me out here, it's Chris. He's got a brother. I can't think of his name, his last name. But came in second behind him, which is, phenomenal, especially in how difficult the fishing was throughout that tournament. I mean, give me an idea. KVD almost didn't make it. Well, he didn't make it the final day. That's a great technique. I've been using it here and there, even in salt water. You'd be surprised what'll hit a Senko in salt water. I fish a lot of public water. I don't have really not all that much access to private. So it's a lot of public stuff. For us here in Virginia Beach, for instance, Lake Smith during the day. What other ones? Fish Lake Smith, Little Creek Reservoir, Lee Hall up in Newport News is great. At night, one of my personal favorites is Little Chain of Lakes in Chesapeake, the Greenbrier lake system back there, or little pond system, ditch system. Chuck just heard ditch and his ears picked up. But that place at night, there's a couple spots you can pull over on the side of the road there. You don't have to worry about your car getting broken into. You can work a couple of lakes throughout those communities and do really, really well. Those are what I do. Lone Star Lakes out in Suffolk are great during the daytime. I don't know if you can get in there at night. Let's see here. Lake Anna at night is good. What other ones have I fished? Especially around us. A couple of small ponds in Norfolk that you can get access to are great. A lot of dragon there. Mead or Cahoon? Truth be honest with you, I've only fished Lake Mead. And I really like Lake Mead, but not this time of year. those bass kind of go into a wintertime pattern. Granted, you can catch them along the shoreline pretty readily, but the big ones and the real concentration of them are really in the deeper holes, those 15, 20-foot areas. Lake Prince, that's the one. Lake Prince and the other one, the lake that's hooked up to it. I can't think of the name of that sucker. Those are banging nighttime. Oh, man, buddy. You want to talk about some fun, especially the lower Western Branch. There it is. I think it's Western Branch. No? Darn, I can't think of it. It's the one on the bottom side. It's south of Lake Prince. That one is one of my favorites this time of year. Reason for that, it's real deep in some areas. We're talking 50 foot. I can really throw my rattle traps, my big rattle traps. I can throw my big crankbaits. Got my fish finder. I'm drop shotting straight down. Working a jig, 40 feet, swim jigging it back in. Stuff like that. I mean, you can't go wrong, especially this time of year. And that's why I like to fish night at two, because those fish down near the deep water come up to the banks, to the shorelines, to the shallower waters to feed. Excuse me. You can really do some work, really do some work. Like I said, Cahoon, I haven't had the opportunity to fish it. I know I want to. I think there's a BFL coming up that I might try to get into on Cahoon, if I'm not mistaken. Those are the lakes I've fished around here. No, I'm forgetting one. It's not Chuckles. My brain's still on Florida. It's right off the James River. Try to help me out, Arlie. I can't think of the name of it. It's off the James River. Nuts. I can't think of it. But, just an excellent lake as well. I know as soon as I hang up finish the show, I'll be like, oh, that's it. But those are the ones I've fished. Chickahominy, there it is. Thank you. That was something like that. Yeah, the chick is great this time of year as well, because you got the bluegill are spawning. Those real nice flats, especially around the paddies, the lily pads. So, I'll really focus in on those. The Chickahominy Lake Reservoir. I really focus in on those areas, running a bluegill pattern. Orange belly. Tubes. I run tubes this time of year at Chickahominy. The greenback, yellow belly, really works well this time of year in a tube color, or even a fluke if you can find them. Soft plastic jerkbait and watermelon works excellent. So, like I said, those are the ones I use and the lakes I've hit. Even a frog on Chickahominy around those pads. Are excellent. Especially if you find the shad, silver or sexy, I'll throw a rattle trap with a sexy shad or a silver body blueback in Chickahominy, and that's always worked the bass over pretty well too. Along with the damn bowfin. God, that's a scary fish there, buddy. But yeah, that's what I'll do. All right, we're approaching our hour. It's been a lot of fun. Let me do my shameless plug for my night, for my thing coming up this Tuesday night, or this coming Tuesday, at Avmax River Company Hampton. I'll be doing a seminar on redfish, mostly puppy drum is what I'm going to be talking about, tips, techniques, places to go, how to fish for them. Definitely come on out. It's at 6 o'clock, I believe. Like I said, I'm actually a company store in Hampton. Come on down, talk to me, enjoy the info. Hopefully I won't do anybody wrong. It'll be a really good time. Again, if you want more information, go to paddleva.com and click on events. I believe that's where it's at. If not, it's on my Facebook page. You can find me on there at Mark Wheeler. Just look for the guy with the fish in it. Don't pick the dog. That's wrong, Mark Wheeler. Pick the guy with the fish in the kayak. I have it posted up there, and I'll be talking about that more coming up. All right. I think that'll call for the night. I'd like to thank everyone that stuck in it with me. Mr. Yak Chum, Mac Trucks. Yeah, the Reds have been doing really well in the back of Lynn Haven, Arley. Sorry. Sidetracked again. I'll talk about that on Tuesday if you come to the thing. But thank again, thank you again. Blah, my mouth's not working tonight. Matt Trucks, Mr. Yak Chum, Mr. Arley, hit me up, bud, anytime. We'll do some fishing. And Mr. Hammerhead, Greg Crisp. Enjoy your ditch fishing tomorrow with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Redfish Chuck. All right. I just say thank you to Slayer Inc., Akuma Fishing, Jackson Kayaks, Yeti Coolers, Frog Togs, Mustad, the Apex Predator Program, and YakGangler.com, BloodyDex.com. Definitely places you should go for resources and gear and everything else. Really some good stuff, you know, all around. So with that, I will say it do. Thank you very much again for showing up. For more information, contact me at LandingCrew@Yahoo.com or at my webpage, Landing Crew Kayak Fishing. LandingCrewKayakFishing.com. It's my guide service. Pretty good deals going on right now. So definitely check that out. Check me out. Give me a call. My number's on there. Contact me with any questions or concerns, reports, whatever. And I'll hopefully see you out in the water. Remember, folks, drink your water this time of year. Always wear your PFD. Stay cool. Catch some fish. Till you kid fishing. With that, I say goodnight. Remember, tomorrow night, Thursday, the original Kayak Fishing Radio Show with Chip the Cheat Hugger Gibson. Catch it. Good night, everybody.